Preparing you to take the offensive for the week ahead.
You all know what you have to do. No one, and I mean no one, comes into our house and pushes us around. It's your game. Let's do it.
You're listening to Ground Rules from the Playbook with Rick Godley on ESPN 97.7.
Cool.
I don't know how you came by this, but you are now embarked upon a journey that must certainly lead you to change your life forever. If you were never a special person, you are a special person now. Hello, Seeker. Now don't feel alone here because there's a Seeker born every minute. Call me happy because I am. Because you're listening to Everything You Know Is Wrong. Hello, Seekers. Here we go again. And hello, especially to the skeptic inside you who might still believe that pigs live in trees.
Emperor Zurg has been secretly building a weapon with the destructive capacity to annihilate an entire planet. I alone have information that reveals this weapon's only weakness.
Have we got a show for you?
And good morning. It is, well, an hour. I'm not even sure if it's earlier or later than when you thought it was, but this is when the clocks should have got sprung ahead. So it is officially 7 o'clock, 7:05 actually, in north central Louisiana, central time. You want to stick around? It's another edition of Ground Rules from the Playbook. I am Rick Godley, and our guest, we're going to do a part two from last week. Frank Hoffman has graciously come back because we got some questions late in the show last week, and Frank Hoffman is one of the founders of the Frank and Mary T. Frank L. Hoffman Family Foundation, and we are going to be discussing animals, if you will. All-creatures.org is the website. All-creatures.org is the website. And as we kind of labeled it last week, don't eat the mascots. So Frank is going to be talking with us here this morning. We'll address the questions we receive later on in last week's show. And by the way, you are encouraged to chime in because you know you're going to hear stuff that you're like saying, what? What? I didn't know that. Well, then you open up the playbook. That's what this is all about, to verify and check and see if it was so. And you got to watch out the dogma, doctrine, and denominationalism that we have been inculcated with. So you take off those 3D glasses and you open the book and read it for yourself like the folks in Berea did in Acts 17 and 10. They just didn't hear what Paul and Silas spoke. They studied the word, the playbook, daily. And you can chime in. You can do it vocally if you want at 888-993-7762. 888-993-7762. And also, you can text in. Same number. Text in at 888-993-7762. Questions and or comments. We welcome folks from listening all over the globe this morning. It's kind of neat of the technology in 2015, so thank you. Matter of fact, just text in where you're listening from. That's kind of encouraging. We do thank our sponsors, Wells Fargo Advisors. That's Bobby Conville. That's Ron Deal. That's Earl Smith for making this show possible. Wells Fargo Advisors in Ruston. Also, Mr. Trey Parker of the Diamond Vault on North 18th Street. So thank you guys, and we have room for you to take a stand and contend earnestly for the faith once delivered to the saints. If you want to, that's when you get in touch with me, and we'll get you on board here on Ground Rules from the Playbook. Trying to think if there's any other things I needed to tell you about. Oh yeah, when it comes to reading the playbook, believe what you read, don't read what you believe. And there is a disturbing a couple of verses. There's a lot of disturbing verses in the playbook there in Scripture, but I'm going to give you one, and then we're going to take a quick break for those that make the show possible, come back and give you the warning to tune out. And this is taking a page out of the playbook of Jeremiah 8. Jeremiah 8 and 9, two verses. How can you say we are wise and that the law of the Lord is with us? But behold, the lying pen of the scribes has made it into a lie. What? There's somebody that got in. Oh, the scribes? Somebody has adjusted the playbook there? The wise men are put to shame and they're dismayed and caught. And behold, they have rejected the word of the Creator. And what kind of wisdom do they have? So read that. So if somebody has gone in there and tinkered with, because let's get real, somebody did. And again, keep in mind, this is warfare. So they adjust the scriptures, the scribes, to fit their beliefs, to control the masses. Just read it for yourself. So we'll come back, and we are going to give you warning, because you are going to have some, you're going to be held accountable for the information you're about to hear, should you choose to stay tuned. And keep in mind, all this is always a choice, right from the beginning. It's called a free will choice. Adam received instructions from the Creator in the beginning that lead to life. And if you choose to obey, you get life. If you choose to disobey, you get the consequences. And so that is, you're going to be always, you always have a choice. And so what you hear this morning, the choice is up to you. When we come back, we'll give you the warning. And that's a fair warning to tune out, because you will be held accountable for the information you are about to hear on Ground Rules from The Playbook on Louisiana's largest all-sports radio station, 97.7 ESPN.
This is Bobby Conville with Wells Fargo Advisors. Life has its twists and turns. It's hard to predict your financial needs or what direction retirement will take. But if we talk about your investments and how they can provide for you and your family, the future becomes clear. At Wells Fargo Advisors, we believe conversation leads to financial clarity. Let's start a conversation today.
Call Bobby at Wells Fargo in Ruston. Wells Fargo Advisors, member SIPC, a registered broker-dealer and a separate non-bank affiliate of Wells Fargo & Company.
Move over, Fido. The Diamond Vault is man's new best friend. And here's why.
Kiss on the hand may be quite continental. Diamonds are a girl's best friend. Kiss may be grand, but it won't pay the rental on your humble flat or help you at the automat. Men grow cold, these girls grow old. We all lose our charm in the end. But square cut or pear shape, these rocks don't lose their shape. Diamonds are a girl's best friend. Diamonds are a girl's best friend. Let's rock.
Get rocked at the Diamond Vault. If diamonds are a girl's best friend, then the Diamond Vault better be your best friend. Sorry, boy. The Diamond Vault, North 18th Street, Monroe.
Taco, Taco Bandito. Get the taco habit at the sign of the Masked Rabbit. Taco, Taco Bandito. Cooking and service Speedo at Taco Bandito.
Come celebrate 40 years of the world-famous Taco Bandito.
Cooking and service Speedo at Taco Bandito.
Taco Bandito, Forsyth Avenue in Monroe and Warren Drive at Cypress Street in West Monroe.
You're listening to Ground Rules from The Playbook with Rick Godley on ESPN 97.7.
Sorry. I'm a big fan.
And welcome back. This morning, our guest is going to be Frank Hoffman. You can find out more about him and Mary's work at the website, all-creatures.org, all-creatures.org. We're going to get to it, but first, giving warning, because we love you.
Warning. 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 The following information is not for your entertainment. If you choose to stay tuned, you will be responsible for the knowledge of truth contained herein. The information contained in this show will require a decision on the part of you, the listener. You will either accept it as true after you investigate it yourself, reject it as false, or simply deem it unimportant. The choice has always been yours. If you are not aware of the information contained in this program, and after careful investigation and confirmation, you find it to be in fact true, it may require extreme changes in your lifestyle. Extreme changes in your lifestyle. Extreme changes in your lifestyle. If changes are called for and implemented, few will understand. Even fewer will follow. Most people will find your actions strange and unusual. Many times, your family and friends. In any case, you will be responsible for the information you receive. If you don't want to hear the truth, I suggest you change the station now. This is Big Boy Bible Talk, not a summer VBS. If you want syrupy, sappy stuff, go to the Waffle House. If you want truth, stay tuned. If you want your ears tickled, stroke them with a feather. There are many places you can go to hear Doctrine of Demons. This isn't one of them. For those who have ears to hear, consider yourself forewarned. Now, here's Rick Godley.
And I think we should do probably a check of the time. A lot of folks waking up looking at the clock and saying, what time is it? Well, actually, it's 7:14, spring ahead. And my guest this morning, welcome back from last week, Frank Hoffman from, well, not upstate New York, but close to upstate New York. Good morning, Frank, my friend. How are you?
Very good, Rick. Glad to be with you again.
Well, thank you so much for taking the time and doing this. Again, the website for folks to go to is all-creatures.org, all-creatures.org. And if you would, help the audience to understand who you are and why you do what you do, to reacquaint yourself with our audience here this morning before we get into some of the specifics of the text questions we got last week.
All right. I'm a retired business person, a retired pastor, a retired pilot, and when I was born again, I had this, well, both my wife and I, had this unction from the Holy Spirit that we had to change our ways. We had to become the compassionate people, the loving and compassionate peacemaking people of God that He calls us to be, or as the Bible says, children of God. And it started to affect the things that we were doing, both in the churches and in prison ministry and other things that we were doing, and we kept saying, nope, we can't keep going this way. Because we have to treat the whole of God's creation with the respect and the caretaker stewardship that God gave us as a responsibility in the beginning. And they weren't just here for us to eat. So we began to change, and we decided that to do some of the work we wanted to do, we needed to form our foundation, and we formed the Mary T. and Frank L. Hoffman Family Foundation in 1997. And in the beginning of January of 98, we began our website, all-creatures.org, and we've been doing our ministry, a lot of our ministry, on the Internet, well, at least since 1998 when I retired from church ministry. We've been doing our ministry on the Internet worldwide. We have people that we work with and pastors and others virtually around the globe, Australia, all the way through Europe, and every place you want to go. It's all over every continent except Antarctica.
Well, Frank Hoffman is our guest here, all-creatures.org. And the thing that I, for me personally as well, and I think sometimes we were taught wrong. I'm sure we were taught wrong. Matter of fact, I read a couple of the scriptures there. And when you're taught wrong, you teach wrong. And so that being said, we got to be forgiving and understanding that, well, it's just like Santa Claus. He's not real and all that stuff. But we lied to our children in love, which makes no sense at all. But we did it. We all did it. So let's just come clean. But where I want to go with this is that I think we were taught that, you know, scriptures begins with Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And when some folks do make a cry of repentance to return, we shove the book of John on them, which is probably the deepest book, the most mysterious book on it, when return means to go back to the beginning. And the beginning is Genesis. And how do we know that what you're talking about? Oh, by the way, I want to throw this out there again. This is a choice for others to do. It's not something that you're so dogmatic about that if they don't do it, boom, that's, you know, let's just get real. People choose what they want to choose, and then that is up to them. So that being said, if you go to the beginning, which is Genesis 1-1, that's the original design. And then we were taught in a linear fashion that we start in the beginning and we go to the end. Well, even if the Creator was linear, which I think His creation says He's cyclical, we could prove that from the cell structure to the universe structure. But even if it was linear, that was in the beginning where the animals didn't eat each other and Adam didn't eat them either because they walked up to him and he named them and talked with them. And then in the right side of the book, all the way at the very end, the lion lays down with the lamb. So help folks to understand that is the full, counsel of the scripture, not just a particular verse here and a verse there, and let's build a denomination on that.
All right. But the biggest single problem that I think that we as a society have fallen into is the temptation of the devil. He's referred to in the Bible as the father of lies. Mm-hmm. And what happens is that we get brainwashed, so to speak, from the corrupt ways of this world. And we have to think when we look at the Bible and we read the Bible, there are really two different scenarios that are going simultaneously in the Bible. You were talking about the original concept of God's creation intent and heavenly will. And that is where we don't do any harm, where we're stewards of the whole of God's creation, and no one gets hurt, or there's no pain or suffering or death. Then we come to the time of the fall, and whatever it was that Eve and Adam ate from that tree, and there's a lot of speculation what it wasn't what God wanted us to do. It wasn't what we were supposed to eat. If they had eaten from the tree of life, they would have lived forever, and there wouldn't have been any problem, but they chose, tempted or not, they chose to eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So at that point, we have what is biblically referred to as the time of the fall, with a capital F. And so we have running in the Bible this period of the fall and what's happening during the fall. And all of the wars and the killing and the maiming and all of the problems that went on all the way through all of the biblical history, which is a great deal of what the Hebrew text is, until we come to the time of the prophets. And at the time of the prophets, we begin to see some things happening. You read the verse earlier from Jeremiah where he's talking about the lying scribes, and then we come to Isaiah, who talks about he's tired of sacrifices, he doesn't want it, and he talks about the peaceable kingdom and the lion lying down with the lamb, and no one hurting in all of God's holy creation, in all of his holy mountain, there's no more death. So we know that that isn't talking about the way the world runs now. And we get up, and we have a number of prophets, these minor and major prophets, that begin to talk about these things as we get, let's say, past the midpoint of the Hebrew text, which is, let's say, the time of the kings. And when we get further on, we see a greater dichotomy between good and evil that's taking place within society. Prophets standing up against it. And Jesus even says that, which one of the prophets didn't you kill, or stone those sent in my name? And he talks about that. And then when we look at this, since you said let's start in the New Testament, John is harder to read, we'll start with Matthew, but let's stay there for a minute.
Okay.
And in Matthew, he says, in a whole list of Beatitudes, and when you, that's in Matthew 5, and when we look at those Beatitudes, all of those Beatitudes have to do with compassionate, loving living. And we see, like in 5:9, he says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be children of God. And then Paul picks up on that message, and he says that the whole of creation is anxiously waiting for the revealing of the children of God to free it from its corruption.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the corruption that occurred beginning with the fall. And we had no killing. Cain killed Abel, and we had people eating animals and everything else we're told about at the beginning of the fall. So we see all of that death and corruption going up, and Jesus says we're not to be like that, and he goes even so far as to saying we're to be perfect like our Father in heaven is perfect, and then he gives us the Lord's Prayer, where it says that in the second verse of the Lord's Prayer, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And as you mentioned, from the book of Revelation, we know that there's no more death or corruption in heaven, that we go back to this peaceable living that God created us to have in Eden. So we see that that's God's creation intent. That's his heavenly intent. So we are sitting here looking at this diversity or dichotomy, however you want to look at it, between the good and the evil living together in this world. Those that follow the heavenly will of God and the creation intent, and those that are following the worldly ways with all its killing and corruption. And, you know, as we know, there's no corruption existing in our governments. They're, every one of them are perfectly honest, and we know what happens. Well, you say I put my humor hat on this morning.
Yes,
so that's
you did.
With you.
Yes, you did. And there's no deceit or lying going on. Everything's in a perfect world right now. Keep going.
And we don't have any wars and all of these other things. And have you noticed that most of the wars that we have, particularly in our present age and going back, you know, thousands of years, have had a religious connotation to them. People think that God wants them to kill, and that's going to appease God or favor God. And if we think about that, that's also the war that exists against animals. And the prophets say God does not want sacrifice, he wants obedience. And what was the sacrificial system supposedly to do? It was to make us so upset and so brokenhearted that we actually killed an animal that we could live, not to eat it, but to appease God for our sin. And this, and the prophets are telling us, no, that's not what God wanted. Even Jesus repeats it. God wants obedience and not sacrifice. If we were obedient to God, we would never need a sacrifice if we follow the sacrificial system. But all the way back in the time of Jesus, there were people, even before Jesus' time, there were people and sects in Israel that realized this was wrong and turned away from the sacrificial system and eating of animals because they realized that killing was not in the heavenly will of God. So we see this coming about all the way through the Bible. And we are to separate ourselves from the worldly ways that cause death.
Well, Frank, I want to make sure the audience understands, because we live in a day and age where we text not even words anymore, but just letters. But you said sex, and I want them to understand it's S-E-C-T-S, not S-E-X back then, S-sex.
Yes, sex. So, with a T, yes.
But let me, man, you said a mouthful, pun intended, but we're going to get to the question. Frank Hoffman is our guest, and you, by the way, you may chime in at any time. Call at 888-993-7762 or text. Text a comment or a question, 888-993-7762. The website, all-creatures.org, all-creatures.org. And the thing for me, Frank, if you go back, and again, the creation... faith is the evidence of things hoped for and the substance. So faith is evidence and substance that it's seed time and harvest. If you go back to the beginning, the left side of the book, in the beginning, there's seeds that have the fruit, that grow into trees, that have fruit on them, that have the seed in them, that fall into the ground, and it produces after their own kind. Simply put, oranges produces oranges, bananas produce bananas. So the fruit of... And there is a God that wants war and killing. And here's the thing. I want people to hear us clear, too, because, yeah, we're living in a day and age where violence is rampant and even growing more. But that is the fruit of the seed of the corrupted tree of the knowledge of good and evil, where that is mixed fruit. And so when Isaiah said we're going to come to a time where we're calling good evil and evil good, that's because we're at the end of an age where we don't know the difference because we're consumed by that fruit. So that being said, in Acts 1:6, I always found this fascinating for me personally. Let's say that it's post-resurrection time. It says they walked the planet with Jesus, the resurrected Jesus, 40 days. And you would think that would be a pretty important time. We could probably have a whole bunch of books on that one. Well, we only have about 6 or 8 verses. But what was on the heart of his assembled team at that time was, they asked the question, is it at this time you're restoring the kingdom? So there it is, that restoration of something that was fractured, and the repentance message of all the prophets, including John the Baptist and Jesus, is to return, return, return. And we always stop there. We don't know what to return to. Well, return to the original condition. So my point is that if you see the wars and the killings, and I think it's as simple as this, and you can correct me because I'm trying to understand all this myself. The Father of Life wants the blood in the place where it's supposed to belong, inside the living creatures, including human beings. The Father of Lies, whose seed is to kill, steal, and destroy, wants the blood outside of where it's supposed to belong. So that's why we have the shedding of blood all over, I guess, in the animal kingdom as well as in the human kingdom. As if, are there two different kingdoms? Did I make any sense?
I think you did, but I sort of look at it as one kingdom, the kingdom of God.
Okay, good for you. Thank you.
And so, but that's absolutely correct. We bring, by our free will choice, we bring the evil into the world. We decide to set a bomb or set a peaceful table. Hmm. We decide whether to take revenge or whether to love our enemy. Mm-hmm. The devil says, take revenge. Jesus says, love your enemy. And, you know, he even goes so far as to say, by loving our enemy, we heap burning coals on their head.
Right.
And people say, well, you're going to set them on fire. That's sending them to hell. No, I don't think so at all. I think what that is the coals of conviction that convict us of the evil things that we do so that we won't do them anymore. It's to change us. Because I think Jesus loves the sinner as much as the righteous person. And he doesn't want anyone to be excluded from his heavenly realm. So it's this kind of attitude that Jesus has that... let's say that if we look at Jesus as a, you know, as a road builder, and the old trails that we used to have were winding all over the place where the easiest way to walk was. Well, when the road builders come, particularly with our interstates, they just cut through all of the things and straighten out the road.
Mm-hmm.
And that's exactly what Jesus did. He took all of the bad things away, and he's saying, look, this is the way I want you to go. But as he also talks about, most of the people try to go by the easy way. They go on the broad path that leads to destruction, and he says his way is the narrow way that leads to life. And few are those who accept it, which is really a tragedy, because we need to be on that path with Jesus. We need to walk with him. And there's a Hebrew expression that is used to say that a person who is attuned to God looks back upon the earth with God, and they can see with the eyes of God what is going wrong on the earth, that they can think, and if you remember, Paul talks about to the Corinthians, but we have the mind of Christ. So we have this ability if we want to use it.
Hmm.
We can think like Jesus. We can be like God, not God, but we can be like him.
You know, Frank, the thing that you just said there, too, and what's working on me is to study more of the Beatitudes. The Beatitudes, it's almost as if, you know, we take the sports analogy, we're in the heading into baseball season, and the end, the goal, obviously, is a World Series. And in football, the goal is obviously the Super Bowl. And there always a vision is cast by the coach. And what they do is they set the end out of the beginning. They give the team the focus point of what it's supposed to be at the very beginning of the season, because you've heard the phrase that if you don't know where you're going, any road will get you there. But that's where Matthew 5, 6, and 7 come in, when Jesus gave the Beatitudes, quote-unquote, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And so that helps me understand what you just tried to allude to. And by the way, before we let this time get away from us, because it does go real quick, we do want to get to the question of last week, and I think it came out of, was a lamb eaten at the Last Supper? And then the follow-up text off of that, by the way, the audience can text in at 888-993-7762 or call in as well, that if Jesus did not eat of that lamb, according to the Levitical text, then he couldn't. Then that was a sin. Because sin is transgression of the law. Therefore, he transgressed the law. So he sinned by not eating it. You want to pick that ball up and run with it?
Okay, I'll do it. I've been doing that for quite a few years.
By the way, how many years? It's been over 30 years, right?
Yeah, we've been doing this ministry of compassionate living, but we've had more time in the ministry than that. But that's the time that we've been working on it.
Okay.
But let's pick up with Jesus. He did not eat the lamb, and there's no place in the Bible that describes him eating any animal or killing animal or having an animal killed for him. As I said earlier, there were a number of sects, S-E-C-T-S, mm-hmm. A number of sects in the Hebrew faith. They were around the Dead Sea, like the Essenes. You have up near the Sea of Galilee. You have groups like, and there's different spellings, and they're not quite sure which, but the Nazarene, mm-hmm. You have the Ebionites, and there's others that were there that did not eat animals. They did not kill animals. They did not sacrifice. They didn't follow those Levitical laws because of things like what Jeremiah wrote. They believed, and they were not transgressing the law. And it's interesting because you see that even when the temple was destroyed, the Jews stopped sacrificing. So you see that it was picked up. They understood the same thing. The sacrifice was to be in the temple, and without the temple there's no sacrifice. Well, how does God forgive? He still mm-hmm. forgives. So there is no transgression. What we have to do is look at how the Hebrew has handled it, in even to the present day. And you don't have the sacrificial system any longer. Mm-hmm. So it didn't exist, it wasn't transgressing the law, and Jesus, we are told, was born without sin. And don't forget, Jesus was a Jew, and almost all of his disciples were Jewish.
Mm-hmm.
So we're looking at people that were Jewish, but did not follow what they considered to be the corrupt things in the law. That were corrupted, and there's a study that goes along with looking at the Bible, and it's sort of a socio-economic type of way of looking at the way the language is written. Mm-hmm. And they find, and there's a lot of Hebrew scholars. I'm not just going by modern scholars, but there's some really earlier ones too that looked at where some of these changes came from. And they see some of them occurring with the return from Babylon by the priestly group that put the Bible together. And that's when you see coming, even in the things that were going on before. That was after Jeremiah. Mm-hmm. And Jeremiah was already catching it, that they were corrupting what was being said. And if we remember, even going up to the time of Jesus, we know that the priesthood was corrupted. Well, they weren't the Levitical priests that were handed down by God. They were the ones that were appointed by the Roman conquerors. They were appointed. So when we look at this, we have to understand that it's the worldly system.
Right.
And people talked about taxes, and Jesus says, render under Caesar what is Caesar's, but render under God what is God's. We can keep the two separate. We don't have to live by the corrupt ways of this world. And that's what Jesus set the example of.
Frank Hoffman is our guest here this morning, all-creatures.org, all-creatures.org. And I want the audience to help because you know as well as I, we don't open the book up and study it and glean the understanding. And I would dare say even that we've been taught that if you start at the left side of the book, go to the right side, everything is supposed to be in order. Well, it's not in order because somebody stuck Esther somewhere over there and Job over here. And so it's not a linear book. That being said, When you said that Jeremiah was crying out, we know that at the time of Babylon. How we know that is because of Daniel. When he saw that the 70 years was going to be fulfilled of the captivity, he was reading Jeremiah. And so, therefore, we know Jeremiah came before the book of Daniel. So let me jump on Daniel right now. The Daniel fast seems to be very popular in the United States. Explain what that is scripturally versus what we think it is.
Well, if you read in Daniel, and we see a lot of this with his friends, and who I comically call your shack, my shack, and a bungalow. If you look at what his three friends did, what they did is they refused to eat the fare of the king. And the way it's described, they wanted to eat vegetables, pulse. And so what they were looking at was when they went to the head of that, of who was in charge of them, they pleaded with him for 10 days to let them eat only vegetable foods and water. And after the 10 days, they were much healthier and better looking, better complexion than all of the other captives that they were feeding with their with the fare of the king. So they looked better. And we see it with them in description, but Daniel was of the same belief, the same way of living. Mm-hmm. And they didn't consume animals. They didn't believe in causing death. So we see this coming out in that picture. And what people look at is the health aspect of it when they talk about the Daniel diet, mm-hmm. not the compassionate side. Mm. And if we look at people that change to a plant food diet for reasons of, and I'm going to say health only about 10% of them stay there. But if you look at the people that move there from a position of compassion, you find that 90% stay, which is a very interesting concept.
Right.
Because we have, and that's part of having the mind of God. God is a loving and compassionate God. We have to have that same love and compassion to come out in the foreground. We have to have that as the central core of our being. So if we don't, then we fall back into the ways of the world and the corruption of the world. And what Daniel's diet was this peaceful, loving way of existing, which was back to God's original plan of eating only plant foods. And it made them healthier.
Well, now
I sure know that. My wife and I do. I mean, there was a dramatic change in our health when we became vegan.
Well, you know the thing too, and I love reading real slow the scriptures, because sometimes I think we've been taught to speed read, and it really goes slow, because in Daniel 1, this is how it describes the boys. And by the way, if there's a reason why their names were changed to my shack, your shack, and a bungalow, because that wasn't their names originally. Their original names was Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. But in Daniel 1:4, there were youths, and this is how it's described, in whom there was no defect, who were good-looking, showing intelligence in every branch of wisdom, endowed with understanding and discerning knowledge, and had the ability for serving in the king's court. So after they go through that process, that trial, by the way, where the Babylonian system is trying to inculcate them to kill the seed, they were made eunuchs, they were changing their names, they were trying to change their language, and they held their convictions. Then in Daniel 1:20, I find it kind of interesting, it says, now, I this one always baffles me, but it's awesome. As for every matter of wisdom and understanding about them, which the king consulted them, we're talking about Nebuchadnezzar here, the king, the worldly king, found them 10 times better than all the magicians and conjurers who were in all his realm. So how does a quote-unquote pagan heathen king come up with a standard that, well, that guy right there is 10 times better than that guy? But that's what it says, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
Isn't that amazing? All right, let me throw this one out at you, because you've been doing this for a while. I feel like I'm pitching fungos to you. All right, what about when Jesus said, all right, unless you eat my body and drink my blood, what's that mean?
It's talking spiritually, and the scripture does describe that. Unless we eat of who Jesus is and drink of his life-giving, not blood speak, but of his life-giving message, and that's what he's saying. Remember, the Bible also teaches us that the soul is in the blood.
Mm-hmm.
And when he's saying that, you have to drink of my soul. You have to become like me. And that's what he's saying. And he said it in those terms to shock the Hebrews, because that was considered an absolute no-no. You don't eat blood. You don't drink blood. You don't eat human flesh. It was an absolute prohibition against it.
Right.
So he said that to shock the leaders, particularly the religious leaders, and those that were following their teaching. But his intent was, this was a spiritual way. We are to eat of his teachings. We are to eat of his knowledge. We're to eat of the message that he's bringing us. We're to be like him.
Which, by the way, that phrase does come out of John 6, the sixth chapter of John. And again, people need to understand that there's four Gospels and four different, quote, if I use the word, maybe levels of understanding. I think you and I, Frank, know that some people think just because somebody understands something a little differently doesn't mean they're better than anybody else. It's just a level of understanding. So that's in John 6, which, by the way, is a real tough one, because that's where it says in John 6:66, and you know, you say that to somebody, they'll go like, oh, that's not in there. Well, yes, it is. It says, after this, many turned and walked with him no more. So I think his disciples said, this is a hard statement. Who can understand it? So you're spot on there. Frank Hoffman is our guest here this morning, all-creatures.org, all-creatures.org. All right, let's pick it up on the proverbial loaves and the fishes. You want to pick take that one down?
Yeah, we can. If we take a look at the feeding of the masses, Jesus turns to his disciples, and when they came to him and told him about all these people and they have no food and this, he says, feed them. And out of their disbelief, they question what he is saying to them. And he says, well, what do you have? And they had a few loaves of bread, and there was a boy there that had two fish.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we know that the fish could not have been fresh fish, because they would have been smelling all over the place and rotten. But they had to be, there were two ways of preserving fish in those days. One was to smoke them, one was to salt them. So we know that it was a processed piece of, or the whole fish, the small fish. And what Jesus did, it says, they gave him the loaves and he broke them. Now, we don't know what he did with the fish. We don't know whether he broke the fish, he could have broken the fish, but when it's saying is that he broke them, and the only thing that was left over at the end was more bread than they started with.
Right.
So, if Jesus did feed some of the people with the fish, it was already dead. He just multiplied the dead fish. And because that's what the people were eating, he was trying to bring them back away, to eat my bread. This is my body, which is given for you. In other words, go back to, and he was only using plant food, the fruit of the grape and the fruit of the earth, the grain. So what he's doing here is he's feeding the people this miraculous multiplied bread to satisfy them, and perhaps some fish. But the fish were already dead. He didn't kill any to do it. But we don't know whether he actually fed them or not.
Well, and the thing here too, Frank, what I did, because I did open the book and read it, and if you go on even further into Matthew 16, when he's doing a literal object lesson with literal food there, and it's kind of neat, as you just said it, that he fed folks the bread, and there was plenty to go around, kind of conjures up back memories toward when the manna appeared on the ground. But here it is in Matthew 16. It says, Jesus was aware of this because they were starting to talk amongst themselves. We didn't have any bread, because he said, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And they're like, it's talking about bread. And then Jesus said, well, you men of little faith, why do you discuss among yourselves that you have no bread? Do you not understand? And there's the key. Or remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000 and how many baskets you picked up? Or 7 loaves of the 4,000 and how many large baskets you picked up? So I guess my point is, he's not recalling the fish being gathered up. He's always talking about the bread. And I'll continue here and then let you have it. How is it that you do not understand that I did not speak to you concerning bread? But beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Then they understood that he did not say to beware of the leaven of bread, but of the teachings of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Again, where, and let me throw this out there, you being a retired pastor, because there are a lot of folks that are going to their particular churches here this morning, you now welcome questions, but it's kind of like the form of the setting of the religious way we have it on a typical Sunday morning, or a synagogue service, if you will, or even in an Islamic service. Can you raise your hand to question something the teachers are saying? It's kind of not welcome too well, is it? It's almost like looked down upon. For example, if you were given your sermon and I said, oh, excuse me, wait a second, I got a question, you just said something. That's not too well received, is it?
It usually isn't, no. One of the things we used to do in our church was we used to have a time where we'd say, stump the pastor. And they could ask me any question they wanted. And most of them, by the way, came from the kids. And what it was just, you know, if there was a question that they didn't understand, they could just ask me anything. Mm-hmm. And we would talk about it. And it was the kind of thing that we tried to change the way things had been. I told the people in the church, if I don't wear a collar, and I don't wear a robe, and I don't look like a pastor, then I shouldn't be a pastor. You know, if who I am is your pastor, then that's who I am. Mm-hmm. And you can call me Frank, because I'm just like you. You don't have to call me pastor or reverend. You just call me Frank, because I want you to see me as an equal to you. I just have a position that's different.
Right.
And this is the kind of thing that Jesus knew who he was, but he always spoke to the people as somebody who was living among them, as a friend, as the person who would lead them out of their problems. He very rarely showed himself as being Lord, and they called him Lord because they knew who he was. He's God. We aren't, you know. But we have to see that difference between him as a man and us as men. Or women. Mm-hmm. We have to see us differently because we're human, and then we look and we see the same thing with animals. We see that they respond. And I think animals are far more loving and forgiving than most humans.
Anybody who has a dog knows that.
Oh, yeah. And that's the key. And why do we have companion animals? And I think that's part of what God wants to show us.
Hmm.
He wants to show us this attitude. And you can have a companion animals. In the Bible, we see people had a goat or a lamb as a companion animal.
Mm-hmm.
And even Jesus tells a parable about this rich person that takes this lamb who was like a daughter to this poor man and kills it to feed his guests. And it's that kind of evilness that we have to stand against.
Hmm.
And it And he uses animals quite a few times in the Bible to show us that these are evil acting things, and uses that example. I think it was Nathan that used that example with David. And that's what David did when he took Bathsheba from her husband and then had him killed.
Wow.
And people think David is this perfect person. No, David wasn't. The only thing that made David different was when he finally realized the sins that he had committed, he repented immediately.
You know,
and he'd commit some other sin, but he didn't commit that same one again.
You know, and you bring that up as our time is winding down, and that Psalm 51, if you read that carefully, and again, if you peel back the English and look at the original language of the Hebrews, because that's the one where it says, a humble and a contrite heart you will not despise, and I don't want to misquote it, let me try and find it. But I mean, it says, at the very end of it, it says, then I'm going to offer sacrifices. And everybody said, see, right there, that right there. And no, if you look back, it's not the sacrifices. In the Hebrew is a function language, and it's not just a form language. So he offers up sacrifices of grain, which is the function of the cattle treading out the wheat and separating the chaff and offering that up. But I know we're picking up something here toward the end. Frank, I can't believe it. Gosh, look what time it is, man. wait a second. Let me play the closing thing. Here we go.
It's time to talk about what we learned today.
And so what we have learned applies to our lives today. God has a lot to say in his book.
Bamboo, bamboo, bamboo.
You see, we know that God's word is for everyone. And now that our song is done, we'll take a look.
And so appropriate out of VeggieTales, they're taking the Bible out of the Bible. My friend Frank Hoffman, who is our guest here this morning, if you're just tuning in, all-creatures.org. You want to take the Bible out of the Bible. I guess there's one other thing. I mean, so if he didn't eat the Passover lamb, he sure didn't eat eggs from a bunny's butt either, huh?
Absolutely.
Wrap it up and help people to understand, at least, because you know as well as I. We're saying some things here this morning like, I don't think that's right, y'all. And so walk them along to the process.
Let me put one thing out.
Sure.
If people have a Bible question that they would like to have me talk about or something, if they go on any of our pages on our website, there's a contact section there where they can contact us, and it even tells us what page they were on. Some of the older pages have mailboxes at the bottom. If they click on those, they can write to us at any time, and we answer all the mail we get. But the key to this is that we need to have the heart of God. We need to see as God sees. And as we learn to separate the two, and this is something that I think we all have to learn, when we learn to separate the two different ways of living upon this earth, we come back to God's side. And when we decide that that's what we want to do, that's when the Babel comes out of the Bible.
Very well put, very well put. So have you received any question lately that you said, you know what, I haven't gotten that before? I would dare say you probably heard it all, but as soon as you make that kind of a statement, what's the most recent one that you heard and you say, you know, I haven't heard that one before?
Usually it's somebody just arguing and saying, right, God wants us to eat animals or something like that. And, you know, then you try to lovingly explain to them that's not the truth. But I have not had anything that I can think of recently where anybody has written to me something that, I don't understand that. I got to look it up and see if I can get an answer for them.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the time it's things that are fairly common, and we've been getting those for a long number of years. If we have a second, one of the most exciting groups of people that I ever had the privilege of teaching a Bible study to were inmates in a maximum security prison.
Hmm.
They were really interested and asked all kinds of questions.
Right.
So, I mean, they had no other place to go. It was sort of a quote-unquote captive audience.
Right.
And so what we look for is to find people that want to be in that. That's why Jesus calls us to be a servant of him.
And I would dare say children get it.
Yes, they do.
So, well, Frank, my friend, let's stay in touch and see what the future holds for the both of us.
We'd love to.
Okay. Frank Hoffman.
God bless you.
Thank you so much. That's Frank Hoffman. You can find out more at his website, all-creatures.org, all-creatures.org. That's going to do it for this week's edition. Ground Rules from The Playbook on Louisiana's largest all-sports radio station, 97.7 ESPN. Big thanks going out, Bobby Conville, Ron Deal, and Earl Smith of Wells Fargo Advisors, Trey Parker of the Diamond Vault, right here on ESPN.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for coming. Please drive carefully and arrive home safely. Good night.